Welcome to The Spark Weekly. I'm Marquise Lupton. On the back end of the program, we chat with Dr. Kimberly Mudge of UPMC York about her farm-to-hospital program that aims to revolutionize how we view healthcare in the Keystone State. But up front, the Harrisburg Havoc are Central Pennsylvania's only all-tackle and full-pads women football team, and they kick off their season next month. And on today's The Spark Weekly, I chatted up with some of the team players and their coach as well as the team owner.
I wish that you all can see this right now, just the amount of people that are here with us today. If you do want to see it, go on ahead and head to our Facebook page right now, The Spark, and see all these wonderful faces that we have with us today. We're going to start with Tiffany here. Tiffany, thank you for joining us on The Spark today. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for coming on The Spark today, and thank you for bringing the squad with you as well. So let's start it off here. What inspired the formation of the Harrisburg Havoc?
So we wanted, our goal when we started the team was to bring the girls back on the field that previously played in a Harrisburg league.
Mm-hmm.
But they that team folded during COVID.
Mm.
So we want to bring other girls back on the field. And mostly we want to empower women. We want to let women and young children, young female athletes know that no matter what they could do it.
Mm. Now, with this being football, you know, we typically or at least I typically did not see or hear about women led tackle football. So how did this come about? Did this league already previous exist? Did you help start this league? How did this come about?
So the league, we're in the WFA, which is the Women's Football Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
It has been around since the 1980s. It's
wow.
The longest tackle football team in the U.S. Recently, there's actually an international team. There's Women's Football Alliance International. So there are teams of women playing tackle football all over the country. There's 64 teams, I believe, in the WFA this season.
You said 64?
Yes.
Wow. All right. So let's bring some of the players in here. Let's start with Summer Knights. For yourself, why do you decide to participate in this tackle football? And tell us what position or positions you play. You're on mute.
Hi, yes. My name is actually Trey, and this is my second year playing. I'm on IR right now, but I play defensive end and tight end.
Mm.
And I love football, always wanted to play. And when I realized Harrisburg had a team, I decided to join. I think I gave Tiffany or Jeff, sent them an email, and they responded back, and it's been on ever since.
Oh man, so then you're an edge rusher then. So do you have any specific swim moves or anything like that? Do you have a combination of moves you do?
Yeah, I like the swim move. I like the little I like to turn, go back in as I'm going outside, then try to turn and go back in when I'm able to get in. So hopefully I'll be able to get back in this year.
Oh, well. Hopefully you do too. And let's bring in Jamika into this conversation as well. Jamika, can you tell us what position you play or positions you play?
I play wide receiver and I also play on the line. I have a lot of different roles and it has been challenging, but I'm up for the challenge. And I love football. Like I said, this is my second year with the team. Mm. I'm excited for us. I'm excited for this season. We do have a lot of new people, so I'm just excited to get back out there.
Now, you said that you played you play wide receiver. Now, what got you interested in football? Was it a sister? Was it a cousin? Was it a father, a mother? What got you interested in this gridiron game?
Actually, I'm from North Carolina, so when I moved here, I was trying to find an outlet, trying to find something to get out of the house, find new friends. I had seen something like it on TV before, so I just, took a leap and looked it up, and I actually found it and been a part of it ever since.
Oh, so then this is a form of community for you as well.
Yes.
Oh wow. All right. So let's bring in some other players and get to know the team as well. Kay, if we can bring you up next. Kay, can you tell the folks at home your positions?
Yes, I play defensive tackle. I also play right guard as well. So I play O-line and D-line.
Oh man, so then you're in the trenches then. So was there a learning curve for you being on the line? Because you all are essential, whether it's offensive line or defensive line, you all are, on the front
Absolutely,
lines.
absolutely. So I'm going on my 7th year playing women's tackle
Oh
football.
wow, okay.
So I've mostly, like, I'd say maybe 5 years, I've always done just O-line. So the past 3 years I've been doing D-line, as well. But like you said, there's a lot of differences with the O-line and the D-line. So yes, it's very different, but at the same time, it's the same goal, and the same goal is to either protect or, go for that ball.
Yeah. Now you said that you've been doing this for 7 years. So prior to the Harrisburg Havoc, where were you at?
I was playing for the other Harrisburg team as well that did fold to due to COVID.
So what was it that brought you back? Because 7 years, if anybody does anything for 7 years, they're a veteran, so you're a vet in this game.
Absolutely.
So what keeps you coming back?
Well, Tiffany is my mom.
Well, there it is.
So I think not only did mom want, for the women, but she saw the bond that we had out there on the field, So when we didn't have that team to look forward to and everything, us teammates, we still had that bond and we loved that love for the game. So it was just kind of like mom saying, "All right, I'll help and I'll make the team for you guys, and you guys just go out and do what y'all love to do."
Oh man, that is wonderful. I would love to hear one of my daughters on the radio sometime. I don't think that they're going to do it, but kudos to you, Kay, for listening
I
to
appreciate
mom.
it.
Yes, indeed. Let's bring in us Samantha into this conversation next. Samantha, can you tell us your position and how you got involved with the Harrisburg Havoc? You're on mute.
All right, can you hear me now? All
Yes, we can.
right, I play linebacker.
Oh.
I used to play for Philly, and then when I left Philly, I came and I played for the other Harrisburg team, and then when they folded, Tiff gave us the opportunity to continue playing.
So as a linebacker then, you're one of the most physical players on the field. Now, starting in Philadelphia, can you tell us the differences between the Philadelphia team and this team?
It's all pretty much the same. It's just a bunch of females that want to play football and just have fun doing it.
Now with the rise of popularity in woman-led sports, where do you see this Harrisburg Havoc possibly going in the next 2 to 3 years?
Oh, we definitely going with some chips out here. We definitely going to get some rings.
Yeah, and Tiffany, if I can bring you back into this conversation, when you started this after the original team folded, why? What was it? Filling a need? Did people come to you and say that we want this? What was it that pushed you to want to do this?
It was a bond that the previous players had. They did come to me and say, they wanted to continue. We sat around a table, we went to a pizza shop, we got all the information. It wasn't just something I did. It was collaboration with past players that wanted to bring it back to Harrisburg.
So then was it an easy decision for you? Was it like, well, yeah, you know, let's go.
Yes, definitely. It definitely was. Mm. It was, this is what girls did. You know, this is what you did. This is what you want to do. It brings a bond to women. You know, it empowers other women. And it was a no-brainer. Yes, let's do this for me.
Oh, man. That sounds fantastic. And let's bring in Jeff into this conversation now. Now Jeff, we spoke with a majority of the ladies, and you being the only male here, what is your role with the Harrisburg Havoc?
So I'm the head coach of the Harrisburg Havoc.
All right.
I've been coaching for the last 2 years. It's just fun. We got a really great group of ladies, very talented, on the field. When I first got involved with it, I wasn't sure what to expect, coaching anything from kids to younger, male adults. I wasn't sure what to expect coaching an all women's, especially a football team. And, since day one until now, I've been extremely impressed with everything that they have done so far. I look forward to everything that they're going to be doing in the future. We got some really good players. We got some dogs on the field. They might look nice here in this video chat, but they're mean when they get on the field. I can tell you that.
Jeff, I saw some of the clips and like, I'm like, oh, I could hear that. And I'm like, wow. Wow. So for yourself, do you change up the way that you coach because you are coaching all women, or do you maintain the same kind of coaching mentality?
So I think that's where I'm at now. It's a learning curve. It's definitely different. You know, going into the first year to now, I think I changed my coaching style a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But that's something you have to do. You got to adapt and you got to overcome, especially with your group. We got players like you look on here that anywhere from playing for 7, 8, 9 years to players that never stepped on a football field before, never played football. So every year we're always starting from that fresh start, right? Like no matter what the year is, we got to start from step one, work on the basics, and work our way back up. So it's definitely a learning curve. I'd say my biggest learning curve is trying to figure out each individual on how to coach them, how to speak to them, and you know, and get the right information across. My goal is to do better than we did last year, right? Last year, I think we had a pretty winning year. We went 3-2 last year. I plan on doing way better than that this year. And hopefully we get to Canton, Ohio at the end of the year. But I see in the future, I see now that our name is getting out there and people are starting to see us, I see our team growing and growing and growing. You know, so we're always looking for players. We're always looking for coaches. So, yeah, I give them a lot of credit. They're playing on a – this isn't a rec league. This isn't a flag football team. This is, you know, this is a legit – football team, and every single one of these players has a job, has a life, has everything like that, and they're still showing up, putting in the work. So
yes,
they got all my respect.
Now we spoke to a few of their members. We have two more members to get to that we have not spoken with just yet. I want to bring Ashley into this conversation. Ashley, can you tell us what position you play and why you choose to play tackle football?
Yeah. Hi. I'm Ashley. I play tight end and DB, defensive back. My reason of why, this is my first year playing, first off, and then my main reason is because my son and my husband both play football.
Oh.
And they were always trying to talk to me and like get me to understand the things that they're saying, and I never understood it. And my one friend kind of introduced me to the Havoc, and she said you should sign up with me. So basically we did, and that's why I'm here.
Okay. So then this is like a family bonding thing for yourself then.
Yeah, I mean, my overall, I wanted to meet new people, do something like different, something out there, be empowering. I'm 100% into women empowering, and also make friends, because I don't really have a family. So for me to like create a family with everybody on the team is just a big goal for me.
Yeah. And have you found yourself talking more X's and O's with your husband and son now?
Yeah, I understand a lot more.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Megan, let's bring you into this conversation as well. Can you tell us your position and how long you've been with the Harrisburg Havoc?
I'm a wide receiver. This is my first year playing with the Havocs.
Oh, all right.
Oh,
it just so happened that we got two rookies here. So as a rookie, why did you decide to join this year? What was it about the team that made you want to, you know, lend your talents?
I always wanted to play football back in high school, but you know, high school teams don't ever let females play because it's always a boy sport.
Mm-hmm.
So I never really had the choice to do it. But all my cousins growing up, they played football. So it made me want to play. I seen it on Facebook and I reached out and Tiff was on my butt to come check him out and play. So I was like, you know what? I might as well. And I went and I fell in love with it.
Oh, that's dope. That's dope. So then what are your expectations this year? 1,000-yard season, 26 yards per catch. What are we looking at?
All that. All the rings and
All right. So Tiffany, if I can bring you back into this conversation now, where do the Harrisburg Havoc play, and at what time? How can folks catch you all, catch a game, and where?
So we play at the Palmyra High School. Our games begin at 6 p.m. Our first game, unfortunately, April 27th, has been postponed due to the other team not being able to play.
Mm.
So our first game is May 11th, 6 p.m. at Palmyra High School. Come on out. Watch us. I'm going to tell you, these girls hit harder than the men do. You'll be surprised. And besides coming out watching us, if you have any little girl that is playing football, playing a sport, needs a mentor, let us know. We're really big in mentoring the youth and, you know, just taking them under our wing.
I'm really glad that you said that, because my youngest, she's the athlete of the family, and when I was researching this, I was thinking, like, you know what, this might be the perfect opportunity for me to take my daughter and we bond over football. So yes, go ahead.
Mika played track in high school. Jamika is mentoring one of the Steelton High senior track members this year.
Oh, wow. So then this is more than a team. You all are doing community service as well, and basically sending that elevator back down.
Most definitely. Oh. Most definitely.
Oh, wow. Wow. So for the person that's sitting at home, that may be interested, but they're like, I don't know. What would you say to them to, you know, push them over the edge and have them try out sometime next year?
You know, me as the owner of the Havoc, it's never too late to try out. Come out. It's a family atmosphere, but I'm sure one of these girls will step in and they'll tell you, you know, what they feel about having somebody else come out.
And then Tiffany, finally, you owning this team, how have you seen the growth from the post-COVID year until now?
There's a huge growth. We're getting our name out. The league, you know, women's soccer football is becoming more than it was a year ago, more than it was 6 months ago, you know, and these ladies going out there, getting in the community, doing community events, getting on the field, showing that we're just not a rec league.
Mm.
We are a semi-professional league. You know, these ladies put their heart and soul into it, and their work, their dedication, you know, it shows. it's bringing that crowd.
And so Samantha, we're going to end with you. Your expectations for this season, what are they?
We definitely get in the ring. We have to. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. This is my last year, so for me, we got to go bigger, nothing at all.
Oh, so then you leaving it all on the field. This is
yes,
your
yes.
This is your last dance.
Yes, no, it is. And I definitely want to say this to anybody that wants to come out. My favorite quote to live by is, "Everything you've ever wanted is one step outside your comfort zone. Never be scared to take a chance." And also, football, the only place you get to hit somebody and not go to jail for it.
Indeed. I love that. Again, ladies, Jeff, I appreciate you all joining us today on The Spark. So just to let you know, to piggyback what Tiffany said, the game is May 11th at 6 p.m. At Paul Myra High School. You will definitely see me and my girls there. Ladies, again, thank you so much. This has been great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up next on The Spark Weekly, Dr. Kimberly Mudge of UPMC York Memorial Hospital outlines her Farm to Hospital program. You're listening to The Spark Weekly. I'm Marquise Lupton. Welcome back to The Spark Weekly. Our next guest is Dr. Kimberly Mudge of UPMC in York. And Dr. Mudge stopped by to discuss her farm-to-hospital initiative and how it is revolutionizing how she approaches healthcare with her clients. And let's welcome Dr. Mudge on The Spark today. Hello, Dr. Mudge. How are you doing today?
I'm well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yes, thank you for coming on. So inquiring minds want to know, what exactly is this and what exactly did you start?
So the UPMC campus, Memorial Hospital in York, has created a concept of what is commonly referred to as a farm-to-hospital program. And that basically, you know, can take many shapes, but on our campus, it takes the shape of three giant hoop houses, which allow for the growth and harvest of fresh foods. And the goal is to provide a new concept of wellness on the health campus.
And what are the key benefits of utilizing these high tunnels? This is honestly the first time that I've ever heard of a high tunnel. What is the utilization of these?
So the beauty of a high tunnel is that it creates basically an easily maintained microenvironment. And within these high tunnels, it's basically a giant greenhouse, and the crops are protected from extreme temperature changes. They're intended to protect from wildlife, you know, groundhogs, deer, you name it. And it creates a very sustainable growth pattern. The environment is pretty constant. And so it really allows for the production of high quality produce that can be rotated depending on seasonal needs. And because it is so protected, you can basically, at least in our region, grow crops all year round. So we have the tunnels with a farmer who is very experienced in maintaining agriculture in a greenhouse environment. And the proceeds of that will lead to a paradigm shift, hopefully, and promoting wellness instead of illness.
Now farm to hospital, this idea, I mean, it just sounds like it makes sense, because for many folks, they have said that food is medicine. So prior to the installation of this, what was the mindset about doing this? Was this a radical idea when it was first brought up?
So You know, there are many institutions and hospitals throughout the country that have looked toward healthfulness as a paradigm shift from focusing on illness. Mm. You know, we as a healthcare community spend lots of money trying to create new technologies, pharmaceutical companies try to develop new medicines all the time to combat basically, you know, more and more illnesses. And many of these illnesses stem from a basic problem that we have forgotten how to live healthfully. And so in an attempt to reformat the minds of our communities, many hospitals have looked at trying to dig deeper, pardon the pun, and promote a growing of and rollout of a plant-based nutrition program. And so the hoop houses on our campus have allowed us to pursue our goals of promoting wellness.
Now for you, Dr. Mudge, and you putting this together, do you have a garden at home? Do you have a green thumb?
I'd like to think I have a green thumb, but I, yeah, I do have gardens and orchards. I grew up in northern Pennsylvania in a small town, and I was raised by a mother and father who believed in being outside. And my mother cooked very healthfully, and you know, we raised, but we also froze and canned, and you know, all sorts of products to sustain us. We lived very healthfully, and when I purchased my property, I took a rectangle of grass and turned it into a hobby farm. And it's been many years in the making, but you know, I have an orchard and I have blueberries and grapes and gardens. Wow. And a greenhouse of my own and chickens and bees, and now have extended that to a hobby farm in the form of a fiber farm. So yeah, I dabble in a whole lot of sustainability concepts and have raised my son with those same principles that I was raised with. And so several years ago, I was in the winter months reading and catching up on things that tweak my interest. And I came upon an article that talked about farm to hospital transformations, and it really struck a chord. And that was about the time that my son, then young, was watching a movie called WALL-E. I don't know if anybody has ever seen the movie WALL-E, but the humans in that movie were blobs and wheelchairs, and the, you know, the robots brought their food to them. It was all processed food. There was nothing they had to do physically or really mentally. And in watching that movie with my son, paired with that article, a light bulb went off, and I said, "It's time that, I mean, this is intended to be, you know, an enjoyable movie, but it was disturbing for me." And so I started pushing for this farm to hospital concept, and you know, it requires buy-in, right? Mm-hmm. There has to be a financial push, but the first step is getting the interest. And the beauty was when I transitioned from an independent surgical provider to a corporate provider, they sat down and listened to my vision, and there was immediate buy-in. Wow. With the concept. But It takes a village to create something of this magnitude. And so over the last several years, we've worked to create our what works for us on this campus, and excited to roll it out. This is our first harvest, and it's being rolled out to the community as we speak.
What has the feedback been so far? Has it been positive feedback? Has there been any pushback because of the level of difficulty or not? How has the feedback been?
It's been kind of interesting because when we first started creating our plan of action, we realized it wasn't going to happen overnight. And so we created a step-by-step process. And in doing so, we step-by-step got the interest of the community and the campus itself. So our first step, as we tried to lead by example and transform the concept of wellness, was to create a trail. And our trail promoted exercise and getting outside. And then COVID hit, and you know, people were using the trail and using the trail, which was great to see and very heartwarming. We then got more interest when we created our Breast Cancer Garden of Hope, which gave spiritual and mindful healing opportunities. And people were talking about that. And then the final step, or where we are presently, was the creation of these hoop houses. And it is right along a major road, which, you know, brings people to our campus. So it was very visible. And people were wondering, what in the world are they doing? Everybody in town, I was getting phone calls and texts and patients asking, and people, you know, nurses and staff working in the hospital, what's happening down there? So step by step, we started getting interest. And then when we were able to announce our plan, I can't even tell you how excited people are. And we've already started selling produce in our cafeteria.
Wow.
And they sell out every day. So it's really, really exciting.
Huh. So then what are some of the key benefits of utilizing these high tunnels for growing your vegetables and fruits?
So once again, it's a controlled environment, which allows us to really grow in raised beds in a controlled environment where, you know, pests are controlled, the soil quality is controlled, the water is potable and safe, and everything is ideally created for mass production of healthful produce. And so because it is such a controlled situation, what we get out of it is a maximized crop. And so, you know, our goal really is to produce just this first year 10,000 pounds of produce for our community, which is quite exciting. The other beauty is that because we can grow it all year round, the farmer, his name is Farmer Bruce, can rotate the crops based on weather conditions and the community's needs. So very exciting that we can address something paramount, and that is obesity and poor health.
So Dr. Mudge, how does the Farm to Hospital program aim to address these root causes of illnesses?
So it was a community effort where a lot of people realized that it was time to change the image of healthcare. And the Pinnacle Foundation and other corporations in the York area felt committed to make a change. The water company and York Excavating, we all came together with this general principle to change. And when you think about obesity, which tends to be the root cause of most of the healthcare issues that we're faced with. Since 2008, there's been a 26% increase in the rate of obesity. And to that point, over 40% of the U.S. adult population is considered obese. Greater than 20% of the pediatric population is also considered obese. And what does obesity, you know, what happens? Well, you know, it impacts diabetes, juvenile diabetes, reflux, hernias, joint issues, heart disease, high cholesterol. You know, it goes on and on and on. Myself as a breast surgeon, you know, have to work with patients recently diagnosed with breast cancer. breast cancer is attributed to obesity. So it is a, in my opinion, obesity is the root cause of so many of the issues that we as clinicians are faced with treating. So we came together collectively to really make a difference. And so by teaching people to eat healthfully and by leading by example, I think those are the fundamental steps. And with regard to mothers and babies, you know, these are young women, young families. If we can teach the women how to cook and utilize fresh produce, we are going to be initiating a mindfulness focused on health as those children become adults. And it gets back to the way I was raised. And those principles that my mother and grandmother taught me are still part of who I am now. And so I think that is really our goal for the young mothers and babies. When I go home, sometimes I go past a fast food restaurant, and almost every fast food restaurant I pass between 5 and 7 has a line waiting to go through the takeout line. And you think, why in the world are people relying on that as their evening meal? And, you know, 1/4 pounder with cheese costs $5, but a pound of hamburger that could serve a family of 4 is the same price. So, you know, so many people want things quickly. And so quick and processed means poor, right? This poor nutritive value, lots of preservatives, high in salt, high in cholesterol and fats, low in nutrition. So let's try and change that. So for the cheaper price, you get better quality and a mindset that will be passed on from generation to generation.
Well, Dr. Mudge, I will tell you this. I'm going to have to reconsider what I was going to have for lunch because I was going to plan on having one of those fast meals. So I will reconsider that. So what you?
Well, my job has already started.
Yes, indeed. and I wonder how many other people are listening to this and said, you know what? I think not going to go to, you know, insert fast food restaurant here. So it really sounds like you all are doing a holistic health approach here. So how does the Farm to Hospital program integrate fitness into its initiatives?
So the one thing that I'm very proud of is the whole concept on our campus. It's not just the farm to hospital, but it's the walking paths and it's the wildlife and it's the fresh air and the sunshine and the spiritual growth. Most of the people that know me outside of work know that when I need to decompress, I go dig a hole or, you know, go for a walk in the woods. And the campus has paved walking trails. And, you know, when you go out and you're breathing fresh air and see wildlife surrounding you, one, you're getting exercise, and two, you're getting just a decompression. And then you pair that with healthful eating habits. Now you've created a whole package of wellness that really gets at the root of healthfulness.
And then there's a mindfulness aspect wrapped up in this as well. And just to have this as a note, NBC News just released a report that said that biodiversity actually improves mental health. So for the mindfulness aspect of things, how was that wrapped up into this initiative?
The Breast Cancer Garden of Hope is a place, for example, that allows people to sit and reflect. And when I have my breast cancer patients going in for surgery, I usually encourage their spouse or a family member or friend to go for a walk on the trail while they're waiting for their loved one. And I also encourage them to use the Breast Cancer Garden of Hope as a means of just sitting and reflecting for some spiritual cleansing. I firmly believe in the statement by St. Francis of Assisi, and that is, a solitary sunbeam can drive away many shadows. And I live by that mantra and encourage my patients and their families to do the same.
Well, Dr. Mudge, we have about 1 minute left here, and I want to thank you for joining us on the Spark and just giving us all this great information. So what does the future look like for this farm to hospital initiative for this garden?
The Pinnacle Foundation has really spearheaded the financial support of this program. What's nice about the tunnels on our campus is that as we harvest, we walk up the hill and provide it for our patients, staff, and the community at large. We use our produce in the cafe. We'll be rolling out a plant-based menu option for the inpatients. We'll have a farmer's market available in the lobby for visitors and staff. Ultimately, we want to be able to have a pharmacy, spelled with an F, for patients to be given a prescription for healthfulness in the form of a box of fresh produce. So we have a lot in store. We're excited about how we can contribute. Any surplus produce will be rolled out to the city in the form of, in addition with the York Fresh Food Farms program, which provides food to the food deserts within the city. So there's no loss and a tremendous gain, and we're really excited about our program.
Oh, Dr. Mudge, I want to thank you for coming on the Spark and just giving us all this great information on this initiative you all are doing. I will definitely say this, this ain't your daddy's hospital. This is fantastic. Thank you again for coming on the Spark.
Thank you so much.
And I want to thank you for tuning into the Spark Weekly and making us a part of your week and a part of your day. I am Marquise Lupton. This is the Spark Weekly, and have yourself a great week.